You know you're consistently going to hear more and more about worship. Because in the last realm that He brought me through and introduced me to it, I was a year late starting into the worship. Came back from a passion play and I was questioning God about getting an anointing in there. He said, if you went home and worshiped me all night, you'd begin to find out how. Did I? No. A year later, I stand in the line and I just fell over. Found myself laying on the floor. And He came on me and had a talk. So I started. For God is spirit, He said, and He seeketh such to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And the seeking wasn't searching for a good band somewhere. He waited out the dispensations of 4,000 years for the first person to appear on this planet as the firstborn that had a nature that could fellowship and worship with Him. You can't suspend your spirit in His presence for hours, and you can't do that and not have it affect you. You can't keep taking baths in His love without coming out acting like Him a little bit. It just doesn't work. But I hit the real tough spots. I had to assign myself by law so many hours a day. And if I fall asleep, when I woke up, I'd make them up. I'd make the time up because I was determined to find out what He is trying to teach me. So I did real good. It got real exciting and everything was great for a period of time. And I seemed to be heading up. And starting to feel a few things that I hadn't felt before. And then all of a sudden, it just all turned. I went in there one day and did exactly the same thing. Hallelujah. You're not a man that you can lie. You exalted your word above your name. Heaven and earth will pass, but your word will abide forever. Thank you for the fullness of your grace. And I give you all the glory and all the praise and all the honor. Hallelujah. So I went in and began to worship. I glorify you. I magnify you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And I praise you. Magnify and glorify. I love you. Love you. And it got flatter and flatter. And pretty soon I love you. Like a dog talks. I love you. On Funny Animals Planet or something. I love you. They'd pancake out and go straight down to splat on the floor. Oh my. I love you. Hallelujah. Have I told you the last hour that I love you? Flap. So I had to find out what's happening here. I've been worshiping, it was good, and then all of a sudden, flop, flop. What? So I tried to find some books if anybody knew anything about worship. And this is what they addressed that problem. They said, you're not getting through. You're not getting into the spirit. I'm thinking, gee, does this thing go backwards? And worship Him a lot and get out? Goodness gracious. And so I stayed in there and fought it. Remember my stubborn streak? I stayed in and fought it. Just stubborn. In the Navy, you know it. They put me on a destroyer chipping paint. I didn't like that very much. wore them out with requests for transfer. He said, they're throwing these away as I make them out a week ahead. I wore them out until finally when an opening came. Oh, it was horrible. Horrible. It's in the hobby shop. And on the boat, had to work in a hobby shop and laundry. I'd sleep on those bags while it was washing. Me and the other guy, we took 2 days on and off out at sea. Everybody'd get up to go do their chipping paint, which I was doing before. I'd say, can you guys be quieter? Then when I got back to the base, they wanted to make me get into marching band and that kind of thing, and I didn't like that very much. So I wore them out again, and I got the worst job you could imagine. Running the bowling alley, working, doing leagues, and it was horrible. When I wasn't doing that, I was a lifeguard. Such a tough Navy span, war and everything. I got paid for it. That's where I got all these. I burned up out there. So I was really stubborn, I was tuned for that. Just, Navy wanted me to fight. I know that would have been more glorious and everything, win Navy against Marines and everything. That's tougher. I mean, if you weighed toughness by smell, I was tougher than a skunk. But I went ahead and tried out for. I said, okay, I'll just try out for it. I was going to give bowling and nightlife and stuff up. But anyway, I just made them happy. And the trainer that tests you, I knocked him through the first and the second rope. Well, look at that fist. So I'm worshiping. I love you.
I love you.
Sounds better than some theologians, I know.
And God is the ultimate go-between, the troubled waters, mankind, and the omnipotent God.
Oh, God. Then I passed a certain point. Had one of my first major visions that appear in your mind on the screen, and I was able to discern what was me and what wasn't. But this one was moving, and he'll talk to you in ways that you understand currently, like a parable. And I got a glimpse of some angels in heaven, and it looked like they were watching through a portal, and I was like a TV set or something. They were watching me. Entertainment or something. But it was what they said. See, it's what they said. That's what I got to hear. Look at this. Look at this, they said. Hell pulled everything to get him to stop, and he wouldn't stop. And here, when I thought I was losing ground, it was the exact opposite. I was gaining ground. I didn't know it. When it delivered me out through the other side, I said, what's happened? What's happened? And the next meetings I had after that seeking time and worship time was in Arizona, thinking. And the services were like usual after breaking through. I kept going and worshiping, until I found out what he wanted me to know and what and how it works. And anyway, never will forget it. I'd already moved in the anointing like standard. It was after the service. I was tired. And a woman come back and she couldn't move her thumb. And it was just real hurt. It hurt her real bad. And I don't know why us preachers do it, but we like to see how much play there's in it. But I reached up and I just grabbed it like that and it bent all the way over. And she went, "Oh my God, it's healed." And I thought, after a service? She says, "It's healed. Look, it's healed." Don't mind mine, that's double jointed. Anyway, "I'm healed," she says. So she runs out, and then a guy comes in, and I says, "What's wrong?" He says, "My eye." He says, "It's just about totally blind." He looked to be about 17, 18. You know, and so I put my hand over his eye, and I prayed, and I took my hand off, and he cried out, like, "Oh my God, I can see." And I thought, "You can?" He ran out into the yard, and "I can see. I can see." And I said, Is this worshiping? Did this?" He said, "Yes, I got my first dose in that suspending yourself in His presence and watch what part of you changes." See, had just about as much to do with the love of God as anything I've encountered. And that's what got to increase. My spirit got to take several steps forward in the manifestation of His love. I noticed things are changing in my attitude in court. But this I do know. During that time, He taught me about the path when I was in ultra holiness. They'd just yell at you, "You need to walk in His power." But they'd never tell you how. Just yell at you, "You need to walk in it." Women couldn't cut their hair. Sometimes they keep it out of the way, they'd beehive it. And they'd spray it, and I'm afraid if they go out under the power, it'll break off. Gotta wear rings, necklaces. And you could have something that you used. The women hang things on their ears, the devil stirrups. The women would wear watches on a chain just so they'd have something to look. I can remember those days of I was holiness, Earl Hitson was Kenneth Hagin. He was trying to introduce me to it, and I was just holiness out of nowhere, you know. We went to a teaching, at a home study and a teaching, and he was doing it. And he goes, "I'm not moved by what I see, hear, or feel. I'm only moved by what I believe. And I take the Word of God as the final say-so in my life." After he left, somebody says, "What do you think?" I said, "Well, I don't think much of a God I can't feel. Oh, Mr. Expert here. I don't think much of a God I can't feel. I'm not moved by what I see, hear, or feel. Well, I am." Goodness. My lungs just don't handle fluid very well. That's how I don't talk to them. You need to walk in power. God, please, somebody, show me how, please. Well, when I had the vision that brought me full time, I exhausted myself just praying, "Yeah, hi, you're a good God," and everything. You know, yeah, hallelujah, and yes, yeah. God, I wonder if a guy can pray in tongues when he wants. All right, let's have a vote. I win. Sori mascora tocala la toma, sarak rasa, haruma sorake, hour after hour. And it's because of the stubbornness that the mysteries begin to surface. And I begin to fall into this and going further and further and further into it. But those days when I was breaking into private worship is when He brought that to me through praying in tongues, and it turned up as one of the keys He gave me to open that door and walk in there and take what was behind that door and the mystery, the equipping of the saints. Hallelujah, Jesus. And so, holiness couldn't tell me what to do. I didn't know tongues was what was working that at first. And Earl started driving me to my meetings, you know. He'd tell me stories, you know. Jesus. I thought, I sure wished he could teach in front of the church like he taught in a car going. He told me some of his rougher days, you know. How he got his back healed confessing after a widow maker knocked him down a hill and about broke his back. He confessed it back. Boy, did I love that story. He'd get up and get his chainsaw and say, I'm healed, and drag it up there, and the guys would get ahead of him and he'd hit the tree and slide down the bark and it'd lay there and confess and confess. Till finally he got up one day and hit the tree and all the pain left his back and he cut the tree down. That was Earl. Stubborn as a lumberjack that you see. But anyway, he was driving along. He says, oh, they said, go rope that hog and pull it in. We need it for something. So Earl runs out there, and this hog was big as the horse almost. And he yanked on it, and it made it mad, and it charged the horse. It was knocking the horse all around. So it knocked the horse, and Earl, you know, he had roped the hog and was dragging it, and they didn't like it. And so it was mauling the horse, and he ran with the rope and tied it on a post. And I think he tied it on one or two, and then he took off running. The hog ran after him. He tried to dive under the fence, and he didn't quite make it. And that hog opened his mouth about wide enough to put your face in it. And Earl, his hair's blasted back, and he goes just right in front of him, the last rope held. But he'd have pauses, and I want to say, get on with it, Earl. I just love the way he taught. He's home. He went home now. His son is carrying on. He's a missionary somewhere. Earl went home. But anyway, he'd be teaching at that old bowling alley, some Hagen stuff. And it was great. So he'd go, you can say to the mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and it shall obey you. And watches a car go by, and if you doubt not in your heart, but believe what you say will come to pass, you'll have what you say. I just loved him. That's where I got my roots. And as I went on down then, and fasting doors opened, but the most powerful increase in the ministry at one time was caused when the praying in tongues delivered the mystery to me of unlocking the door of private worship and soaking your spirit in adoration in the presence of God for hour after hour. You're not going to escape without being affected. Then I was so amazed in the operation of that key, because some of my friends were Jesus only, and no rapture. And they were some that come and preached and were more along my line, at least with holiness standards, than her. So I got kind of hooked up with them. And they were, no dye. And this guy, I don't want to tell his name. He'd just tell me, you could shoot me with a gun, and I wouldn't die. Well, he went home since then. But in a difficult situation like that, they were my friends, see. And Dennis, his son, I'll just say that much, he was so small when we first went to a meeting with him that Dennis sat in her lap. But when he made contact with us later, which was about the time he was getting the love walk and the empowerment and how to get on the path and walk into as much as you want on purpose just because you want to, see? Why would the path throw you off? When God waited out the dispensations of 4,000 years for the firstborn of many brethren, why would the path throw you off every couple of feet? So he was that small when went to some of those meetings and didn't know much about it then. But later, he was grown and he entered his own ministry about the time that Major Key was coming forward, which is 10 years later or so. And so he went overseas with me on a trip to India, I believe. Came back and his mom, she's had something horribly wrong. And the healings that took place. He wanted to know all about it. He says, how do you? I said, well, he followed in the footsteps of his dad and he had some of the doctrine. But he wanted this. Well, see, the main thing, the things we're dealing with now, how much love you can walk in. I'm not talking about Him empowering a certain office here. He named them all and says, if we miss this one, we don't have a whole lot. I'm talking about a constant walk into His love for anybody who wants to. Again, in laws of meditation and confession, you cannot suspend your spirit and create the atmosphere hour after hour without it ending up affecting you. You can't. See, and I can remember how the baptism took on three levels with me. First one, it felt like it was filling my spirit, but come to find out later, it was just a little bit of it. I think I'm going for that one now. And then I saw a rock land in a pond, and all the waves went out to every nook and cranny in the pond, and that was my spirit. And then the next rock landed, and that was the soul. Oh, it got past my emotions and stuff. They had to come under subjection. They couldn't get by with anything hardly except crying. And the other one was your geographical surrounding, in other words. An anointing will begin to build. And when the love escapes and saturates your geography, then it's a tangible substance they can feel called compassion. It's what Jesus was moved by and healed them all. Well, I went on to more keys after that. Fasting was a little bit harder key to break into. I started in a 40-day fast to qualify. I got 40 days in starts. No. No. I quit eating. Anyway, I broke in, found out about it, found out the role that fasting played was a pretty major role as far as the flesh is concerned. If Christ be in you, is He? Yes, He's in me, and I'm seated with Him in heavenly places. If Christ be in you, the body's dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Positionally, my body's been declared dead, and what fasting does is it executes that position. It doesn't have power to rule over you anyway. Now you're executing the position it's been declared. And if the flesh has been jumping down upon you, I'm going to make a pancake out of you. Shut up! I'll make a pancake out of you. Now you're a dragon. Now you're a bowling ball. Na, 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 na. You start fasting. Flesh is jumping on you. You're bothering me. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Oh. I want out. Shut up. Fast. Fast. Fasting. Fast. 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 Oh. Don't. All of a sudden, that car you've been believing for a year and a half just comes in, and you went, I moved God. No, you didn't. You moved yourself in alignment with to receive something He already gave you. Was it over? Probably not. Worship, worship. Jump, jump, jump. Fight, fight. Fast out, in. Stop, stop, stop. Yes. See, confession to us is a mystery. We think for our much speaking we're heard. I said, I thank you for that. I have it. I said, you know, if for anything, you're heard less for your much speaking. That's what he said. They think they'll be heard for their much speaking. Well, what happens when we confess hour after hour? What happens when you worship hour after hour? What happens when you confess hour after hour? See, I got a kick out of how Jesus taught the apostles and upcomers.
We heard that John's disciples fast often, the Pharisees. Now how come yours don't fast in all?
He says, why should they while the bridegroom's with them? Remember? They were walking under his mantle. It was great. So he says, when the bridegroom's with them, then when the bridegroom goes home, like then they'll fast. You want to know why they'll fast then? They're going, yeah. Because you don't put new wine into old bottles or new patches on old garments, remember? They're going, yeah. Thank you. Thank you. What he was saying, that's what he was about to do. That's what he had to do. The bridegroom's going to be taken. You're going to be born again. So you're going to have the new wine in an old wineskin. But that's okay, because fasting will do to your old wineskin. See, it'll mortify it execute the position that's been declared for the duration of the new wine that has to operate in this body for the duration of your ministry and time. That's why he said that. Whew.
Well, Brother Roberson.
What? Who said that? One time, some guy named Schizo told me, he said, No, I'm just kidding. What about confession? It's taught two ways. I loved Brother Hagin's way, but I loved Norval's way. Brother Hagin's way particularly was, you received it. You know, if you had a disease, a blood pressure or something, you prayed, you received it. And then if a pain comes, you nope, I'm healed from that. And you work it as it tries to attack you. You hold it all. But Norval, he taught, okay, you know, if you can't walk or you're limping. And man, he told one story. Norval just loved it. Sometimes he'd tell stories. And he'd hand it over to the guy 10:30. And we're just warming up. Anyway. This guy, he had a real bad leg. And so Norval taught him what to do, you know. It just really pained him really bad. And so he took to heart what Norval said, and he would lay there and confess hour after hour, and you know, walk the floor and it hurt, and he'd keep confessing, No, you can't stay there. You haven't any rights there. Because Jesus bore my sickness. He took this pain. No, you're not staying. You're not staying. Get out. You're not staying. I thank you, then I'm healed. Hallelujah. I thank you, Father God. I love you so much that you've healed me. Hour after hour. And this guy, just really bad. Just bum leg. His old buddies came. They said, hey, are you going to go duck hunting with us this year? He said, oh. He thought, well, I'm healed, yeah. Yeah, I'll go duck hunting with you. So it became quite evident he couldn't keep up. So he said, you just guys just go on, I'll catch up. And he just put his gun down and lifted his hands and started praising God, worshiping that it was already done, thanking him again and again. And all of a sudden, something came out of heaven, just hit him and knocked him down on the ground. He got up, stood up, shook his leg, picked his gun up, and took off running. When he caught up with those other guys, they said, I guess your God is God. Come on. Don't sit there and wonder about it. Whip it. Whip it. He gave it to you.
Well, what happens? I taught God into doing it.
No, you didn't. He was already that when he offered himself up for you.
Well, then what does it do?
It'll get you healed. It'll change circumstances. You mean confessing His Word? I have it. I thank You. I worship You and thank You. Ooh, I just can't get over. Praise God. This is done. Hallelujah. What happens when you do that? Hour after hour. I didn't know how to understand it myself. I kept asking. I know He would want me to teach on it, and I kept wanting to know how to do it and what. So finally, when He taught me what it was, it cleared up. Then I had to come up with the parable. Like Chuck the duck, the nerd girl, Cain the timber wolf. So I come up with the parable of the Texas oil magnate. Remember? I'm covering older ground today.
Yeah.
I'm having fun. these Texans and Tulsians. Texan Tulsians. I was born in Texas. I'm a Tulsian. I'm going to go to suspenders, I guess. I mean, the buddies were just getting filthy rich and just, man, having the time of their life. Just, how you all doing, old buddy? You going to the North 40 today?
Yep. Yep.
Just kidding. What are you going to do today, partner? Oh, I just thought I'd go buy me a couple of airplanes. I don't know. I'm bored. They're so rich, it's just running out of them, you know. And so, the one invested in England, and it came through. So, he says, I have to go over and watch over some interests. I'm going to become a multi-billionaire. So I have to go. My old friends, I don't know how long I'll be there.
My old friends... Tally-ho. I mean, I don't know how long I'll be there, but...
I'll see you. I'll see you. 15 years goes by, 20 years. He's up there with the Brits. They get a telegraph, he's coming home. Maybe a phone call, whatever you want. Okay, an iPhone. Somebody told me that in the early development of communication, it was a telegraph, telephone, telewoman. We were on oil, wasn't we? They meet in the low-flying Buzzard's coffee shop. These guys come in with their mugs. He's a little bit late. He comes in. He sits down. They're all staring at each other. They're so happy. The waiter comes up and puts a little bitty cup this big and puts it down on the table and puts a little tea thing in front of it. Puts it down. And their eyes are going. Holding their mugs. He's over there. They're looking, he's looking.
Well, old partner, how'd it go? Tell you who the fox and all that kind of rot.
You said you wasn't going to talk like that.
Like what, my good man? You want me to slap you? Better get your gun.
I got it. Oh. You said you wasn't going to talk like that. Am I? Yes. What happened? Just from the assimilation, it changed the road the brain waves run down on. Change the accent. Come on. How come you can read a paragraph once and can't quote it back? What took place in your brain when you read it 20 times with effort and you could quote every word? What happened? Same thing that happens when you keep calling His Word true and keep confessing the truth about the situation in the past tense of being done because of what He's done about it. You keep on doing that time after time. Pretty soon, it starts cutting a canal. And the next time it runs through, you believe it more. And the next time more, until finally the red flag goes up and God comes and says, I was waiting for that. See? Atosielokurati. Aneskurepoheskirichi. Yes, sir. How did you learn these things? Stubbornness? Yielding myself to the teacher? Especially in finding out then that the path to these things, and of course there's equipping for different ministries that are different from one another, such as the giftings that you receive. You see, love is an attribute. It powers all of them. It never fails. And if you got any fear left, it'll throw it out on its ear. You can't stay in there calling Him who He is in adoration, love, respect, without it beginning to change things about you into a receiving machine. Oh no, so could I say. Yes, sir. But understand, this went past efforts. If you had been weak, you'd most give up, and they're in worse shape than they think. But if you've got no quitting sense, you've got it half made. Half made. When that compassion built stronger and stronger, as when we got tied up at Norville's for 6 weeks that time. Was it 6 weeks? 6 weeks, and I took a plane a while, and then finally just took a driver and passed out every other weekend. I'd come home and preach, and was preaching twice a day. She's doing music twice a day. And he'd come in. He'd just come in waves. Just hardened people would break down just sobbing. One time, a couple of gals from a college somewhere, or they just enrolled in the Bible college. That was it. And I was standing up front, and I was going to minister to them. I was starting to. Compassion just swept in like a wind. One of them starts screaming. Remember that one? So I got out of her way. I got about here and it goes, ah! I went, ah! Then I think she crumbled. I'm not sure. But he came out of her. And there's Miss Holiness Lady with the beehive look anyway. She goes, oh my God, have you ever seen anything like that? I said, yeah. Elaine's favorite. And I can remember the details of him because he was a professor. If you remember, he was a professor and he was had some kind of degree in theology, and he wanted to come and challenge us. And that's what he stood up to do. And I was in that beehive anointing, you know, this honey just flowing, passion. Oh God. Everybody else sat down. He's just standing there like this, glaring. So Elaine was there. And so I'm just trying to figure out what's going on. Just nan-an-ta-ding. Walk up to him. He's going. And all of a sudden, have you ever seen somebody with their eyes open and they lose the pupils at the top of their head? That guy, he had albino eyes. It turned all the way up, and all I could see is a little tiny blood cell operation, veins in the bottom and going up. Veins. That scared me worse than the devil. Those eyes rolled back like this. I mean, worse. And he falls over frontwards. Plop. Then he crawls like a snake. You remember? I come back up here and he's crawling up. He comes up and I go, this professor's just crawling around like a snake. So I don't know. Sometimes I, like that witch that came in to try to put a curse on me a few months ago. And she come down that wall with the smoking flax, panted on me, and all those angels, fallen ones who standing around her as guards. She must have had quite the rank. Her name was probably Emma. Smoking flax, and she come out this end and started to go out in front, but then decided to go back up a little, and she went and fanned some in my direction, and that did it. That one drew a comment out of me. Said, that wasn't very nice. I had no fear. I had no fear. Well, this guy is crawling around, and pretty soon he struggles. He starts to struggling to get up, and I said, you know, basically come out of him. Jesus' name, come out of him. And he stands up, and not only did he come out, but then he lifted his hands, if I remember, and he gets saved and told us what he was doing there. He said he's a professor, and he was coming to disprove the tongue sting, and that cut him off at the pass. Hallelujah. See, that one's yours. I mean, that love is yours. It'll bring God to the forefront and the fullness of whatever you're walking in, see. I don't want to miss that. It puts my body in order. It's ordered by peace. Takes your fear away. Stops your failing. There's a few times I should have been hurt, but I wasn't, because he stopped it more than once. I don't deserve him to stop it more than anybody else. Most of the ones that tried to jump me were, the devil had them under his control at that point. And I have power over a devil, but not over a person. Unless I throw you in jail. And I can tell you where you can walk. Anyway. But you have power over devils, but not people. So these were devil-oriented. They was lost in him when all the attacks took place. So the ones were being manifested, saying, coming up behind me, telling, I'm going to kill you. Going to kill you. I said, oh, shut up. I'm tired of hearing it. That happened two or three times. And then the one that tried to beat me up last two times ago in Brazil. And I got bunches of witnesses. They'll come and preach here and tell you. Alan's one of our top teachers too. But he did. He tried to hit me hard as he could three times. Just coming in like that, and old hand to just go. I looked down to see. He wound up again. Alan's going.
comes running over then. He jumps in and his arm just in time. And so Alan starts to hold him back. And that's when I reached over Alan and went, you know, I know what's going on now. Come out in Jesus' name. And I told you the outcome of that. Next night he's sitting with his wife on the front bench. This time when I came back, I went back to Brazil. It's a preacher's conference. He brought me a gift. You got power over devils.
Amen.
See, when Jesus, when he was teaching on love, he made a supper and called, and they began to make excuses.
I married a wife. I can't come. I bought a tractor.
Oh, my, a yoke of oxen.
I bought some land. I want to go see it. We can't come.
He says, they can't come out my house. I want it filled up. Go on the highways, the byways, the hedges. Compel them to come. Get the sick. Get the way. Make sure. Hey, if you wanted the blind and the maimed and the lame, there's healing. See? He says, bid them to come. That my house would be full. Well, then he's walking, and these mixed people that he was teaching to was walking along with him, a large crowd, and all of a sudden he turns on the crowd and he says, any man comes to me and hates not his father and his mother and his wife and his brethren and his sisters and his own life also, you cannot be my disciple. He says, for which of you intending to build a tower sets not down first and counts the cost down to every nail to make sure he had everything he needed to complete his tower, not just the walls. He said, lest everybody say, hey, this man began to build and another failure. The cost you're counting that led up to was whether or not any man that comes to me, he says, it took me a while to break that one down. And hates not his father and his mother and his wife and his sister and his brother. But then he named himself too in his own life also. So you know when you get something like that, that's when you go looking for an aid sometime. How did it say this? What was said? What it played out to was when I first said, well, how come I have to? He says, you'll follow them. Well, myself. He says, I love you more than myself. You'll follow yourself. He says, and the cost you're counting to finish your towers, whether you're going to do that or not. But it broke down to mean anybody comes to me and does not love less than me, his mother and father and wife, less than me. But when it finished, the mystery finished coming home. Oh God. Any man comes to me and does not love less than me, his mother and father and wife and children, sisters and brothers, and his own life, can't be my disciple. I said, why? He said, do you love them? Yes. He says, the only way you're going to love them more is love me more. And every time you love me more, you're going to be able to love them more. You'll love me more and less of your old man will show up. Because you love me more. You go on another one and love me a whole lot more, and you're going to be able to love them a whole lot more. Until finally, you're not going to tolerate it. You're going to finish your tower. You're not going to be stuck on earthly things, and that's all you're going to attend to. You're going to attend to eternity because you love them that much. You don't care what it costs you, what it takes. You're going to finish your tower. They're going to come home with you and a whole lot more other people. Well, he took it a little further. He says, or the man who had an army with 10,000 to go against an army of 20,000. And he's trying to get some kind of answer. Should I or should I not? He sends an embassy of peace, whether to negotiate peace, or maybe I can take him the 20,000 with my 10. But he had no way of knowing. And he threw that parable in it too. Meaning, you know, where are you going to go to find out things that are impossible to know? And he pulled it together with a little parable again. Salt is good, but if it loses its savor, it's not even good for a dunghill. You know what that is? Fertilizer. That's dead salt. I can tell you that. It doesn't have a nose left or nothing. Why would he say something like that? Salt is good, but it loses its savor. In other words, where are you going to go to get something that can season salt back to salt? In other words, he's speaking of himself. I'm it. You're not going to go anywhere else to replace what I am in your life. There's no other. I'm it. You want to know the answers to those problems? You want to win? Do you want to love your family? Then love me more, because that's where you're going to get more love to love them with. You'll finish your tower. So as you know, the devil met me in Brazil at the door that had just opened for the second round with the love of God, wherever that takes us. That room full of devils couldn't do anything. Nothing else is either. I'm going there. We're starting to pick up more on it already, aren't we? Just get on the path and that teacher just keeps going and going and going. What a time to live in. You counting the cost? Yeah. I'm counting the cost. That's why I chose him. Hallelujah. We're going to get to come into these times head on with our boxing gloves on. Yeah. Yeah. Get up, devil. You're only down 6 times. Get up. Come on. Get up. Yes. Hallelujah, Jesus. Yes. Yes. Am I excited? No, that's coming. Yes. Hallelujah. For you that were nurtured in an atmosphere, the load was so heavy, the veil beneath. Give me a little liberty here in this interpretation. I fell beneath the load. For your information, those loads can't get heavy enough to take you down when the love of God is manifesting itself in growth. They can't stay in the way because it runs over them and moves them out. There's nothing more powerful. First of all, it takes care of your fear. You mean you'd think that'd be good time spent in my closet? Oh, of course not. It's total vanity to worship God. Private worship. What do? Lay in the freeway so everybody can see you? What have you been taking, Brother Roberson? Go right down to the drugstore. You'll see the bottle. It says Henri Pills.